Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world. This week, Christmas Roundup. It's going to be a Christmas waffle cast. I should say holidays, but we're both Christmas people, right?
Yeah.
It's a winter solstice roundup. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next. What'd you get?
I got cool stuff. But first, I have a question. Mm-hmm. How many things did you get this Christmas that in some way involved artificial intelligence?
Hard to say. Good question. Let me think. There was one present that Maggie got that was the weirdest, which I think it would be a stretch to say it had AI inside, but it's got something crazy going on. I got mostly shirts.
Okay.
So when I'm wearing them, there's artificial intelligence inside.
Inside the shirt, yeah. Yeah.
And we have a relatively new car, which I did not get, you know, for Christmas. We got it in August, but that thing is like still blows my mind.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot of board games, but I did end up getting two things with AI inside.
Nice. Like the Intel logo, but...
but with AI, yeah. Yeah, I had that same thought. I got a Roomba.
Ah.
Nice.
Just raging jealousy.
Yeah. Well, actually, we bought a Roomba with some money that was given as a gift. The Roomba itself wasn't. Yeah. But anyway.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Technicality.
Yeah. It was on sale. We wanted one for a while. We grabbed it. And we also got Anki Overdrive.
What is that?
It's a game. The original Anki Drive had like this mat that you rolled out that had this racetrack on it, and you put these little cars on it and they would drive around, and it was controlled with an app on your phone. And there were quote unquote computer players that were the physical cars. And you'd have different weapon upgrades from your cars, and you could like use the app to like shoot at other cars. And it was like, you know, sort of, and that sort of thing. And Anki Overdrive is that, but with more stuff and modular track system.
So was this like featured at an Apple keynote when it first came out?
I think the original Anki Drive was, yes.
Okay. And this is like physical tracks with physical cars, like old school Hot Wheels.
Yeah. Yeah. Physical. So it reminds me, I guess, kind of like slot cars is about the size of them.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So like, how does that even work? Like, you can set up the track to be any shape now?
Yeah.
Okay. And you just like, so you're controlling, how many cars are there?
As many as you want. We have four.
And some of them are basically like non-player characters.
Yeah, you can either like select a car to play, or you can put them on the track as computer controlled, AI controlled. And how I believe it works is there's data encoded. I don't know if it's NFC or if it's some kind of image that's getting scanned, or I'd imagine it's NFC in the track itself. And you put the cars on them the first time and you tell them to scan the track, and they drive slowly around it and read all the data on the track so that they learn the layout of the track. And in this case, now with the Anki Overdrive upgrades, whether or not you have like jumps or intersections or that kind of thing.
What?
Yeah. And then you race.
And now, do they have I remember back in the day when we were little kids, and there's like, you know, you're just playing against actual people. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty common for the cars to just go flying off the track.
Yeah. You can, like, if you get a little too vigorous with it, you can drive them off the track. But part of the job of the AI is to help keep them on the track.
Mm-hmm. So is it actually fun?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It's actually fun. And as you go, you unlock upgrades for your vehicles that let you get better, that let you put a better engine in it, and suddenly your car is a little bit faster and that kind of stuff. So,
a better engine.
It's a lot of fun.
Man, this is a really great example of the kind of meat space, cyberspace blurring.
Yeah.
You know, like you're upgrading the engine in the car, which
is just,
of course,
like, yeah, changing a setting in the app.
Right. And I've always, whenever they come out, I get kind of excited about digital things sort of protruding into the physical world. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking about Chromebooks this way. It was like Chromebooks are like a physical manifestation of Google services, you know, and some of the Amazon stuff too, like the dash button. It's mm-hmm. it's like a one click buy now button just popped off your
right.
web browser yeah. and landed on the side of your dryer. And that interacts, that sort of seamless interaction between, I mean, like the cloud all the way into a Matchbox car in your house, right. you know, it's like this huge, complex just systems. I mean, like think about when we were little, at least when I was little, you know, you just had like little cars that you pushed around. They were like these little die cast metal, you know, they're just like.
Right. Or you had a slot car that had like these brushes that sat on the track and magnets propelled it around or whatever.
Yeah. Not those were popular, but you didn't see that many of them. It wasn't like, I mean, not that there's tons of Anki Overdrive around, but the idea of like when I was a little kid, like a teeny little Matchbox car being wirelessly connected to the cloud and having sort of features like it, you know, it's kind of like basic Internet of Things craziness.
Yeah, you wouldn't have dreamed of being able to fire your virtual weapons and suddenly the other cloud controlled car in front of you just like suddenly stops.
Yeah. They don't have the capability to like go flying off the track,
no,
do they? Like,
no.
That would be fun. Man, that's, and this is like a, what are you, it's like a Walmart type of purchase? Like, where do you even get this?
I ordered it from their website, but you can get it off of Amazon. Gotcha. We can link to the website in the show notes.
Yeah, that does sound like fun. Yeah, we got this thing called a Hatchimal. Mm-hmm. And Maggie is obsessed. You know, she's four. She's obsessed with these Hatchimals.
Right.
And they're like they are the weirdest.
So, yes, I've seen videos. They're odd.
Yeah. So like there's a million like YouTube videos about these things where people, they just, you know, like Mrs. Hands with the camera pointed at the table and her two hands will pull, you know, slowly unwrap these crackly packages. Mm-hmm. And then there's this egg and then she breaks the egg open and the consistency of the eggshell is kind of like bad white chocolate or like wax.
Yeah.
And there's like a little animal inside, like a little fanciful animal inside, like a little donkey with glitter wings or something.
Yeah. But you're
in. Yeah. It's like a Pegasus donkey or like a cat. I don't even know what the animals are, if they're from a TV show or anything.
No, I don't think so. I think they're just little like animal mashups with some sparkly bits thrown on them. I don't think you're actually supposed to break the egg. I think what you do is you just kind of get the egg and you just love on it for a while and it hatches.
Yes. So of course, you know, the kids couldn't wait for that. So they sort of like, it wasn't like a box. Like they don't view it as a box, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, this is just more packaging. It is part of the experience. And there's like a little, in the little ones, cause we got a million of them and they're all different sizes. The little ones have like, at least the one I saw had a heart on it and it was one of those heat sensitive, made out of something heat sensitive. So if you rub it and rub it, rub it, it changes color. And then as you're rubbing it, the plastic kind of starts to break down and it starts to crack and you're like, oh, you know, and they get all excited. Yeah. And then they can't take it anymore. And, you know, they
pull it off.
Sort of, yeah. Like, yeah. How many licks does it take to get to the center of a Hatchimal? So that's sort of fascinating. And to me, it's like a brilliant marketing move because it's, you don't really know what you're buying. And so, you know, the kids just want more because they don't really know if they have this one or not. They just buy as many as they can. And they, you know, the excitement of slowly opening them and finding out if they got a new one or not is huge.
Yeah, it's the whole blind box craze with an egg shell wrapped around it.
Yeah, exactly. But we got a big one, and this was weird. So the big one is the size of like a grapefruit. Mm-hmm. You know, the egg's the size of a grapefruit, and it didn't have a button or anything. I think it was just like this speckled egg all the way around, like an ostrich egg or a dinosaur egg or something. Yeah. It's like the size of the dinosaur egg from Norbert dinosaur egg from Harry Potter. Okay. And so you take it out of the box and it like thumps, you know, like your iPhone might, yeah. you know, and I'm telling you, like half the people in the room, adults included, could not not pay attention to this thing. Because it sits there. Well, it doesn't sit there. Someone's always holding it because they're like, oh, it's like thumping, feel moving, and it's making these little cooing sounds from inside and these little lights from inside the plastic. And it's super, I'm sure that in maybe like, first of all, I think that this kind of thing will not go, it will just keep getting better. And I think that they'll keep coming out where you've got this kind of pet-like experience that is manifest in the physical world, as opposed to like, what are those things like Tamagotchis, or there used to be this thing.
Yeah. Like the little keychains with the liquid crystal displays, and you had to keep them alive.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
And so this is like a thousand times cooler than that, but it's still super clunky, but I can imagine some insanely cool version of this.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, you can't unwrap it. It unwraps itself.
Right. It's going to have AI in it eventually.
Oh yeah. Yeah, right now I think it's pretty smart now. I'm sure it's not AI, but it's like pretty sophisticated. Yeah, it's got sensors and actuators, and you just wait for it to open itself, and it like moves around inside, and then the beak, like, seriously, like, dear listener, you probably not believe in this, but it actually pecks its way out of the shell, and then it comes out, and it's got, the eyes are like different colors. I mean, they're the same colors each other, but they change colors. And there's like a key that comes in the box that tells you if the eyes are a different color, if it makes this kind of sound, then it's sad or sick or happy or whatever. And oh man, like I'm telling you, like Erica and Maggie and Erica's brother's wife were just like glued to this thing. They could not put it down. So imagine if it was like, and it's still pretty dumb, but it's impressive to me. Like as a programmer, I'm like, wow, that took a lot of work. And, you know, the sensors are pretty sophisticated and, you know, it's got accelerometers, everything would have in your phone, it seems like. And man, I don't know what this plastic shell is made out of, but it is the weirdest plastic I've ever seen. It's like, it's like somebody was like, huh, we accidentally made some really crappy plastic. What could we use it for?
Yeah, that's weird. I wonder what it is. I wonder if it is plastic or if it's some kind of...
Maybe it is wax.
Yeah.
It is sort of alarming when you see it like broken apart, because I'm like, somebody got a joke on that. Because it looks like candy and it's not. Mm. So I don't know. I was just like, wow, look at that. That is wild. That sort of fake pet thing. And the fact that it doesn't... The fact that it doesn't sort of immediately reveal all of its coolness.
Yeah, you have to work for it.
Yeah, it's a feature for sure. Because like a lot of the other toys, it's like you open it up and boom, oh, cool, thanks, next toy.
Yeah.
Definitely held people's attention.
Yeah, that's wild. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a whole array of virtual pets now, so to varying degrees of quality.
Is that right? I'm not surprised, but I'm not really up on it.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not either. I just, you know, I know there are several out there at this point. I remember seeing a couple of them being announced over the past, you know, couple of years. So, but I think Hatchimals are certainly have caught on and become the most popular. And I'm sure it's because of the whole egg gimmick.
Yeah, the egg gimmick is a good one. You know, there used to be, when we were little, there's a thing called Teddy Ruxpin, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically a cassette player. Yeah. Teddy bear shaped cassette player, and you'd put the cassette tape in him and his mouth would move along with the words on the tape.
Yeah, so bad, but it was popular. And what was that?
Yeah, my cousin had one.
A lot of kids in our neighborhood had him too. And there's one now that has this one now that's like a walkie talkie. It's kind of like a stuffed animal, or what do you call them now? They're not stuffed animals anymore.
The plushies.
It's like, you know, it's like that, but it's got FaceTime inside, basically.
Right.
Or audio.
Yeah, I think we chat. Did an episode about those because they got hacked or something.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But this one, I think it's the same one. It looks familiar, but it's a combination of just straight up, you know, audio chat between your parents and the kid. But it's also got voicemail, basically. And it's got... like voice alterations, sort of like in Snapchat or something, where, you know, if I talk to Cooper, over the teddy bear, the teddy phone, that it messes with your voice. So it sounds high and cute. Nah, 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 nah.
So you can make the teddy bear have its own voice.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I'm sure there's a store where you can buy different voices online. But yeah, I mean, like, this is an AI inside, but Cooper asked for, Maggie asked for a million things, like a million little Hatchimals and little toys and stuff like that. But Cooper is he's almost eight. Mm-hmm. He asked for, like, a couple Nerf guns, his family to be happy, and a computer, and that was it.
Yeah.
So everything, he just doesn't care about toys anymore at all. And he just wants like digital stuff. So like apps or in-app purchases or coins for games, you know, inside games like mm-hmm. Minecraft has got a huge, now that I guess Microsoft's got them, they've got a huge like in-app purchase area, stores for tons of things like skins and texture packs and worlds and
sorts
of things.
I didn't know that. Kira still plays Minecraft, but I don't think she's never mentioned the store.
Yeah, they've been upgrading it. They upgraded a lot. I almost don't understand. I understand the when you're normally in the normal part of the game and actually playing, that's mm-hmm. pretty, that really hasn't changed. But all of the even like your inventory is set up differently now, and it's really gotten kind of sophisticated actually. Mm. There's an adventure mode now where you can't break anything, but it's not like survival mode.
Yeah, you're basically just an observer.
Yeah, it's like a more like a first person type of game. That's probably not new, but I just haven't seen it in a while. But yeah, I mean, like everything was almost, you know, and even Maggie's like, oh, I want the Christmas world.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I mean, Kira, by and large, grew out of toys at a fairly early age, generally speaking, but I imagine for younger kids, it's even more so now just because, I mean, the technology, like the computers, and the internet and all of that is so much more entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Last night, Cooper's been dying to play this Wii game. We have a Wii U, but he's like, oh, I want to play this Wii game that his cousin George, he plays with his cousin. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we've fished around a little bit. And of course, all the old Wii games are like inside the Wii U. He was like, you know, his mouth dropped open like, ah.
Yeah.
There's a Wii inside the Wii U.
Yeah, the Wii software, the Wii inside the Wii U is an emulator.
Yeah, virtual machine or something.
Yeah, it's a virtual machine. And yeah, I buy all the games from the Nintendo shop. And
mm-hmm. And let me tell you, the new games look a lot better than the old games. Mm-hmm. It's like, wow. I thought Atari was bad. It's
beautiful.
What is?
The new Zelda game, Breath of the Wild.
Oh, cool. That's the one we have, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have it for the Switch.
It is. I love that game.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
I don't
beautiful.
Really play games, but oh, man, is it nice. Mm-hmm. They just got the other big obsession with the, strangely enough, the 4-year-old more than the 8-year-old is this game called Hello Neighbor, which has AI inside, where you live across the street from this creepy guy, and he's up to no good. You just know it, and you basically, you know, spy in the house, try to get inside the house and try and figure out what he's up to. And, you know, he's always wearing like these giant rubber gloves and the lights are flashing at night and stuff. So.
Well, you have somewhat portrayed Maggie as more of the evil genius of the family. So I hope she's not watching it for inspiration.
It's possible. So they advertise the game. They say that the neighbor, mm-hmm. It's not like a rote routine. It's like he learns from your behavior and will. So you can't play it the same way every time. It's not like, you know, back in the day when we play like Super Mario, we figured out it wasn't a cheat, but there was like a glitch where you could if you kicked one of the turtles just right, you could get them stuck next to a wall and just mm-hmm. like jump on them 1,000 times and get like unlock 100 lives or something. But there's apparent, and every time you played, like the same thing happened. Like the bad guys would come at you the same way. So it was more like solving a Rubik's Cube than actually competing against other sentient beings. But this game supposedly is that, you know, the guy, the neighbor does different stuff all the time and you can't really predict what he's going to do. And, but speaking of gorgeous, it is jaw-dropping. I mean, it is a piece of art.
Really?
It's amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. I've heard of the game, but I'd never seen it. So I have to check it out.
Yeah. I mean, you're basically just in a neighborhood in a normal house. It's not, mm-hmm. well, it does get fanciful at times, but just the artwork is unbelievable.
Just it's really well done.
So cool. Yeah. It's just very stylized, but I really think it's cool. So what did you get for low tech stuff this year? What was the old school, you know, basic stuff, the classics?
Lots of board games.
Interesting. Anything stand out?
Yeah. Actually, season two, there's a little bit of background. There's a cooperative board game called Pandemic, which is very fun, where you are basically CDC workers trying to save the world from these virus epidemics and outbreaks.
I think you got it for us.
I think I did. I might have got you the dice game version of it.
Yes.
And then last year they made a game called Pandemic Legacy, season one, which is the legacy game changes as you go through it. So it's an evolving storyline as you play through. So it'll be like, you know, you'll do something in the game. They'll be like, oh, this happened. Open box six. And box six will be like, well, here's a new set of rules for this thing. And here's a sticker to put on the board that changes this. And oh, by the way, destroy that card you just used, kind of thing. And so it's, I mean, it's, you know, you play through it once and you can't really play the game again. Well, you can, and the experiences are a little bit different, but the story is spoiled for you. But still, you get like between 12 and 24 plays out of the game typically. So we got season one last year for Christmas and we loved it. And we just kind of like binge played our way through it over the Christmas break. So this year, season two came out just before Christmas. So I was like, yeah, we're getting that as a big family gift, as our family gift this year.
Why is it called season two? Is that just a...
No, it's more of like a longer storyline. Like season one was, I don't want to spoil the game, but basically, yeah, it's an evolving storyline. It picks up where the last game left off. Season two picks up where the last game left off and continues the story.
Oh, that's fascinating. Yeah. I wouldn't have imagined that from the game we played.
No, the game you played is very different. The one I sent you is just, yeah, it's fun, but it's different.
Cool. Yeah. I mean, it seems like, I don't know if it's just, you know, like confirmation bias, but it seems like board games are kind of picking back up. I don't know if they ever went away, but
they're certainly, they're certainly picking back up.
Okay. Cause it seems like I could imagine I'm not really a game person, but I could imagine in board game forums everywhere, like a board game's dead because the iPad and whatever. And
nope. But
they're definitely not.
Nope, they're definitely not. And we added five of them to our collection this Christmas.
Jeez.
So, and I mean, you know, we're not talking like Monopoly level board games. I mean, these are highly produced, highly polished, like really quality components games.
Yeah, they're sophisticated. Like what you just described is, I've never played a board game like that unless you count like Dungeons and Dragons modules, you know, that it has a storyline. I've never done that. That's super cool.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
For us, it was weird because on the one end we had like all virtual stuff, mm-hmm. tons of virtual stuff. Mm-hmm. And then on the other end of the spectrum, it was like shirts and like Eric has been on a knitting tear. So like a bunch of handmade stuff and we probably got three puzzles that we already did. Like even Maggie just loves puzzles. She loves doing like regular old school like jigsaw puzzles.
Yeah, Richard and Kira I got a jigsaw puzzle for Richard and Kira and they sat down and did it. So
yeah, it's such a different part of your brain. Very fun. And card games have been a big thing around the house. We have a tough time with board games because pieces just go everywhere and they get lost and like it's rough. But between the card games and the puzzles, we've been able to, because the kids will like, oh, these pieces are cool, and they'll go play with them like independently.
Yeah,
and that doesn't go well.
No, that typically doesn't work out.
Yeah, but
I have a different problem with board games, and that is I'm running out of space to store them. Richard flat out refuses to buy a fifth gaming cabinet.
Oh yeah, is that like is there incentive to like get rid of old games somehow?
No, just different and more elaborate stacking.
Nice. Yeah, we didn't. There was a noticeable lack of like plasticky kind of like assemble this sort of toys, like
right.
action figures, or like we've had a couple of years when, you know, again, I think this is from you, that those sort of like plastic stacking blocks and these magnetiles and had this like sort of like in the past, like this little plastic track, almost like slides, almost like slide pieces that you can put all together and run marbles through.
Yeah.
And there was just like very, very little of that. It was all either super crazy advanced stuff or like something that could have been a toy or a, you know, a present in the 40s.
Right. Right. Yeah. Like I got a year's supply of scented candles. I had a whole stocking full of them. Wow. And I have a teenager, so obviously she's not into toys and stuff, but she didn't ask for anything big. The most expensive and biggest item on her Christmas list was a blanket. Like, well, it was a very specific blanket, not just any of them, but it was a but yeah, like that was her big ticket item. And there was a lot of, like, it was weird. We had a couple of things, like the Anki Overdrive and that, but it was like very low key in terms of like, okay, here's some board games and a jigsaw puzzle and here's some clothes and some candles. And yeah.
Yeah. I got candles too. I got like LED candles for my, cause I won't use regular candles in my office. Cause I'm 100% positive that no matter, I would never be able to leave because I just keep coming back to check to make sure I blew the candles out. So I would have to live here and have food delivered.
Right.
So I was like, oh, well, you know, they've got some pretty realistic looking, like flickering LED candles. So I got some of those. That's pretty boring though. I mean, I like them. I got a vacuum cleaner.
Nice.
In my office, like a little handheld one. No AI inside that.
Oh, well, that's, yeah, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, but definitely it was a noticeable lack of, like, other than the really the Nerf guns, the noticeable lack of like plastic toys. I'm trying to think. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, like, and your kids are still at the age where they should be, you know, where a boatloads of plastic would not be unexpected.
Right, right. Yeah, I guess, you know, Maggie did get a couple, but not, it wasn't the like onslaught, the tidal wave of colored plastic that of Christmases.
Right, you're not. You're not swimming in a sea of little tykes the day, you know, Christmas morning.
Right. And I don't think we got one bit of Lego. Yeah, no Legos.
Huh. We didn't hear either, but
it doesn't, I suppose usually, it doesn't count.
Yeah, we usually just like have a Lego set in somebody's stocking or something.
Yeah. Because we already have all the Legos, so we don't really need any more.
Right, exactly. Once you own one of every Lego.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I did get a tablet.
Okay.
Yeah. Because I have,
what happened to the billboard?
The billboard is too big for what I want to use a tablet for.
Interesting.
And it's not an expensive tablet. It's a Lenovo Tab 4, which is an eight inch tablet. It comes in at I think it comes in at about $100, but I'm really impressed with it.
Nice. And what's the, I assume it's Android.
Yeah.
And,
Android.
Okay.
And Android. And, my only complaint is that it takes forever to charge. It doesn't support rapid charging.
That's a drag.
So, but it does get good battery life, so I can just use it throughout the day and then plug it in at night when I go to bed and charge it. And you know, I mainly wanted it to like a lot of times I sit at my computer watching videos or just like goofing around on the internet, and I would much rather do those things from the couch. And I thought, well, I'll use the billboard for that. And then I realized that, no, my eyesight's not good enough that I can set the billboard on the TV tray and use it. I still have to hold the billboard, and the billboard's heavy.
Yeah.
This 8-inch tablet does not suffer from that problem. Mm-hmm. So.
Cool. Yeah. We are in the market for some kind of upgrade there. Like we, you know, Cooper and Maggie have been sort of limping along on our hand-me-down stuff. And it's all so, they're not super, they don't get too frustrated by it, but I do because it's right. Like, whenever they ask me to help them with something, it takes forever and I just want to smash the thing.
Right. It's like, it's so slow.
Yeah. And we got, I fired up an old Nexus 7 for Cooper. And mm-hmm. I was a little bit nervous because they're used to just iOS stuff. And he does no problem. He just, show me where YouTube is and see you later.
Yeah.
And, you know, all the games and everything are, you know, that's, I don't know. They're kind of like, I was kind of surprised, but I think that that's, I might have to get a link in the show notes on that one, because I think we're due for an upgrade in that department. Maggie's got like this, I think it's an original iPad. Nothing runs on it anyway, so who cares? But yeah, they just look for the apps that they're familiar with, and all the apps that they use are like pretty much the same on any platform. Even if it has a web browser, you can get at most of them, like YouTube, Netflix, Amazon Video. And, you know, a lot of the games that they play that are, say, like platform specific, they don't really, they're like entertaining, but they don't really care about them. It's just sort of like something to
right.
do.
Right. If it's not there, they'll just do something else.
Yeah, so, exactly. Right. So it's like Minecraft, and Cooper and Maggie started playing Minecraft together, which has been amazing. You know, they do that like LAN version. Mm-hmm. And they're in like, you can hear them yelling at each other. Like, stop hitting me. Like, you guys, dad,
stop destroying my house.
Super funny. Huh. Well, let's see, dear listener. We've got, I think this is the last show for this year. Is it not?
I think it is. Yeah. Yeah. Next week will be 2018.
Very exciting. 2018. That means we are, supposedly 2 years away from Ford's first mass market driverless car.
Yes.
And the social credit score in China being mandatory.
Yeah. Oh, did you watch that Black Mirror episode?
Oh, I did. It was really good. And you're right. It was exactly this, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, everybody on their phones constantly, you can kind of like throw ratings at other people.
Right.
And my favorite part of the episode, I feel like I've seen this story before, but told in a different way. And I couldn't place what it was, but it reminded me of an older story, you know, like maybe Scarlet Letter or something. I couldn't place it. Maybe one of the dear listeners can hit us with something on the Facebook page, because I'm positive I've seen a story very, very similar to this before that had no technology involved. But my favorite part was like the terms the writers came up with for certain things, mm-hmm. like, you know, high fours. And there was just a whole bunch of really funny terms.
Yeah, it's been so long since I've seen it. I don't remember any specific examples, but.
Yeah. And I can't remember. One of my favorite scenes was when she sits down with the ratings consultant and he's looking over her network. And it was like, it was so funny. It was so funny because he's like a guy who's saying totally normal like stuff a consultant would say, but about something completely crazy.
Yeah,
it was so great, and it was really good. It reminded me of a lot of things. But it was a really good episode, totally fun to watch, good ending, and didn't give me nightmares like some of the other episodes have. So that was good. But yeah, Nosedive. I think it was the first episode of season 3 of Black Mirror. Really, yeah. Really good.
Yes.
So you got that to look forward to, China. cool. So we'll talk about these and more things next week.
Yes, have we got anything else?
Next year? Any other housekeeping or anything that we could?
Not that I can think of.
All right. Well, that's it for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
I gotta remember what show I'm on. I'm doing too many podcasts.
Yeah. It's like, is he trying to remember the show or his name? Or
yeah. Like, what show are we on? Well, that's it for this week, dear listener. This has been Terrifying Robot Dog. And I need more coffee.
Yeah.
I hope to see you again next week. Next year, in fact.
Bye.
Oh, so great. So good at this.